Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 19th day of March 2020. If it was 2019, I would short a bunch of stocks on the long con. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend, and doing all that good stuff. Appreciate the heck out of you being here. Got an action-packed show again for you. We've got the idiots in the media. God, I don't know. There's a fine line between being a useful idiot and just being an idiot. And it's tough to know on which side these people fall. That they are, in times like this, focusing on their PCBS rather than facts, rather than the news that's going on, is a testament to just how worthless they are. They're not actually worthless. They are doing damage to the country. And they're content to do damage to the country. They're happy to do damage to the country. And some of them, who knows, maybe getting paid to do damage to the country at the end of the day, because, well, China spends a lot of money. China throws a lot of money around this town. I don't think that you realize that, how much money there is flying around from foreign governments all around the world, but in particular China. They've got a lot riding on the U.S. If the U.S. doesn't buy their crap, then, you know, especially if, God forbid, to them, the U.S. start making our own crap and selling it to the rest of the world, then maybe Chinese crap won't sell as well around the world. So we will get into just how awful these people are. There's a push out there on social media to get Bernie Sanders to drop out because he can't win. He's assessing his presidential campaign, and it's time. It's time. By this time, maybe he's dropped out. Who the hell knows? But he should. If he doesn't, it's a vanity project at this point. And there's more to it than that. And I'd love, you know, this is somebody who'd love to see them beat the hell out of each other from now until June. But there are practical reasons why Bernie should drop out, and realistic ones why Bernie should drop out. But his ego won't allow him to drop out. We'll get into that as well. Plus, morons on spring break. Look, if you're in college and you want to go out and get drunk and laid, okay, we all get it. We understand it. But there's a time for that, and this ain't the time for that. CBS News went to what I can only describe as ugly spring break. This video that they posted of a bunch of college kids going, "I don't care nothing about no coronavirus. I'm going to get wet laid." Everybody in the video is just hideously unattractive, and that's not a value judgment about their souls, although that doesn't help their cause. They are physically ugly. They are like chuds out in the daylight. I'm like, gross. I have to assume that the attractive spring break was full or closed or whatever, or attractive people are smarter than unattractive people, because these are some really ugly people. Find the video yourself and you'll go, my God. Somebody tweeted out that, you know, the joke's going to be on all of us when they find out that STDs protect people from coronavirus. And it's like, there's no way these, unless you get STD from a dirty toilet seat, there's no way sex is in any of these people's futures. It's the acne, it's the weight, it's the look. It is the IQ of roughly 25. Everything about these people is hideously ugly. So Yeah, maybe brain damage. If brain damage protects people from coronavirus, then we've got reason to be envious of these morons. But they are out there, and you got to think their parents are at home. You have to assume not particularly proud of these dumbasses. So we'll get into that as well. I've gotten your emails. I thought about reading some of the complaint emails. You're talking too much about coronavirus. You're talking too much about... Find me something else that's going on in the world. Is there something else going on in the world that's, you know, newsworthy, not just, hey, you know what, they've got free parking now in downtown Royal Oak. That's going on. That's happening. Free parking in lots of places, but and lots of it. But that's not really newsworthy. We talk about the news here, and even if the biggest news story of the day is something you've heard about, A, you haven't heard about it this way, and B, you haven't heard the latest, probably. So that's this is a current events show. I'm sure there are podcasts out there that, God, they propped up during the Mueller investigation to just be about Mueller. And I'm sure they're still harping on Robert Mueller. How boring is that? Ooh, we got a new update on Robert Mueller. Is he still old? Is he still irrelevant? And are the conclusions still the same on the Russia hoax? I get it. That's how you made your name, but whatever. You know, there are specialty podcasts out there. This one happens to be what happened in the previous 24 hours, not... ignoring the biggest story because you think you got it covered. You don't actually have it covered. And we will talk about other things. We've got Bernie Sanders, people complaining, Bernie supporters telling him it's time to go. It's time because it is time to go. So we'll get to all of that and more. And this is more of a media analysis than really talking about coronavirus. But first, let's talk about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com. Yes, GetTheTea.com. I love me some Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com. See, what you do is you go to you're probably a little dragon, not enough energy in your life. You wish you could drink less coffee, but you feel like you need it because, you know, you eat right and you don't understand what's going on. Why do you not have the energy? Well, that's where Life Change Tea comes in. It cleans you out. It's the tea that makes you go, as they say, and it keeps you regular, and it cleans you out. That means that there is more of your digestive tract uncluttered by old things that went through there, and that allows your body to absorb more food, more nutrients from the food that you eat. That translates into more energy. None of that 2 o'clock drag, fall asleep, take a nap, wish you could take a nap, whatever it is. Go to GetTheTea.com. Check out all the products they have. They have a wide selection of great products to help you get more energy and to feel better, boost your immune system, all that good stuff, and then help you digest all the good stuff from your food. And then you enter promo code Derek at checkout, my name, D-E-R-E-K, and you get free shipping on top of it, and they ship pretty quickly. So you'll get your stuff quick. Use as directed. Follow the instructions. And you'll be well on your way to more energy and just a better sense of feeling good. Can't beat that. GetTheTea.com, promo code Derek, and you'll be helping out the show, helping out the sponsor, and helping out yourself. All right, let's get into it because we're talking about helping out things. Why are so many American journalists interested in helping out China? Can we do it? Should I say it like Trump? Why are so many American journalists interested in helping out China? They really are doing the bidding of the Chinese government. If they are on the payroll, that wouldn't surprise me. If they are not on the payroll, then it's like a prostitute doing the work for free. Because they really are prostituting themselves to China, whether they're being paid or not. The president yesterday did what they've been doing every day, and that is holding these daily coronavirus task force press briefings. And remember all the whining about, we want to have a daily press briefing from the press secretary, and the Jim Acosta is going, it's been this many days since there was a press secretary briefing. They don't seem to bitch that much about that anymore. They never really should have because they've had more access to this president than they ever had to any other president. The press conferences are actual press conferences, not scripted garbage right out of a bad Hollywood movie. Where, remember Barack Obama's press conferences? He'd come out there and say, well, I've just got a brief statement, and then we'll get to your questions. And then he would speak for 25 or 30 minutes for an hour-long press conference. And then he'd go, now we'll go for questions. And he'd look down at the list, and he would read the name of the reporter as on a prepared list. Okay, now it's time for Bob Johnson. Well, there you go. And he'd put their outlet and say their outlet, and Bob Johnson would stand up and go, God, Mr. President, when you do you have a chair you recently sat in that I could perhaps smell or at least rub my face on? Second question, how awesome is it to be you? And then he'd answer it for about 7 or 8 minutes, a basic question. Yes, do you know the temperature? Do you know what time it is, Mr. President? Well, I tell you, time's a relative thing. We don't really know which way it's going to go. It always seems to be moving linear, but there are some who say that if you go faster than the speed of light, you could theoretically move back in time. We'll never know that, at least as of now. So on and so forth. Just go like that. And then you go, right, next question. No follow-up questions, nothing. No scramble, no scrum, nothing. Very orderly, and he would take on average between, like, what, 7 and 8 questions in an hour-long press conference. And you go, well, we're out of time. Glad you got all your questions answered. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to throw down my scarf like I'm Fat Elvis in Vegas, and you ladies in the front row can fight over it, and I'll see you later. And he'd leave the room. And the media would go, a very command performance from the president today. He really knows his facts. It's really easy to know the facts when you know who the questioners are, when you've chosen ahead of time who the questioners will be. See, because even if, and I have my suspicions that it's not the case, but they insisted that they did not know the questions ahead of time, just the questioner. But if you know the questioner, you can pretty much tell what the question's going to be, right? You know what they're going to ask. You know what that particular reporter's been sniffing around and nosing around about. So you can prepare. Plus, you know the news of the day. They knew what was coming if they didn't plan what was coming. And it was treated as, oh my goodness, Barack Obama descended from the mountaintop today to answer 6 questions from reporters and then floated back up to the mountain, leaving a sense of serenity in the room, in the White House, in the nation's capital, the country, and the world. Reporting live from the White House, somebody, somebody, somebody. Well, the president of the United States right now does it old school, and he's not afraid to take questions from hostile media. Barack Obama, what, took 2 questions in 8 years from Fox News in the White House press briefing room? When he did, he'd do like 2 press conferences a year. Donald Trump is doing an hour a day, every day, not to mention if he ever goes out to the helicopter, he's ever anywhere. He has a cabinet meeting or a meeting in the cabinet room, the press comes in. No president has been more accessible. But this president is declared an enemy of the people, you see. He declared the press an enemy of the people. So he's therefore an enemy of the press. And they're trying to silence their threat to the First Amendment in no way, shape, or form. Remember that narrative? Remember these people? Well, the president yesterday, they came out and they gave their updates, and they were all talking about what is an undeniable fact, that the number of cases is going to increase rather dramatically, probably over the next week in the United States. That doesn't mean, you know, people dying and on respirators. It just means that they're testing more people. And as you test more people, you find more. It spreads around. It's been spreading around for a while. Doesn't even mean those people will be particularly sick. But it does mean they will find them. So in a numbers sense, the numbers will go up probably pretty dramatically. That should be fairly easy to explain, right? Right. Well, the media doesn't seem to understand that. There were a whole bunch of questions about how do we handle this. One guy said the number of deaths last night were 100. Today, they're 110. Is that something we can expect going forward? 10% increase every day? Like, you know, that's just you're dealing with, you can tell a lot about somebody's motivations when they use either percentages or raw numbers. You know, it depends on which one is more useful to what that person wants to convey. See, 10 more dead, over the night is, in a nation of 330 million people, each one is sad, but that's a tiny speck. It's a rounding error. If it's even a rounding error, it's such a tiny number. But a 10% jump sounds ominous, sounds scary, right? 10% jump versus 10 in a nation of 330 million. Both are accurate. One conveys a more emotional response, an emotional-based response, or at least has the potential for it. So the choice of how to frame it is very, very important. And you're going to see a lot more of that. Because right now, 110 dead, or whatever it is currently, is, again, each one a tragedy. Not the Black Death, and nowhere near what other countries have experienced so far, thank God, knock on wood. So you're going to hear it framed in percentages. But that wasn't the main problem with the press conference yesterday, the press availability. The main problem was that there were, now imagine you had four people. Yesterday I talked about how you have a chance to ask the President of the United States a question, and you choose to ask a question based on Chinese propaganda. I was mocking the reporter yesterday for being so stupid in that sense. Well, yesterday, there were four questions parroting China. Well, three questions. There were actually four questions. I have audio of three of them. And then one reporter doing a special report on NBC News. Racism, racism, racism. The Chinese government is out there talking about how calling it the China virus or the Wuhan virus is racist, how it's problematic. They're parroting the language of the left because communist China is of the left. Make no mistake about that. They are of the left, different sides of the same coin. Progressive, socialist, communist, it doesn't really matter. There's barely a dime's worth of difference between all of them. And now, uniformly, they are all outraged over the idea of accurately describing this virus as it is has been described by them, and viruses have been named in the past. Why? Because Donald Trump and Republicans started to do it. One shining example, Vox News. I told you about the xenophobia that they wrote about in Donald Trump's Oval Office address because he called it a foreign virus. Oh, it's a foreign virus. Well, Vox News yesterday had a piece, and their headline is Trump's new fixation on using a racist name for the coronavirus is dangerous. Yes, they believe that you and all Americans really are a six-pack of Pabst away from rounding up the pickup truck and the boys and going out and kicking some ass because the virus came from China. We got to go get ourselves. We're going to get some revenge against this virus, boys. That's what they think of everybody who isn't as enlightened as they are. But it's kind of funny. Because if you just look back at the history of Vox News, and by history, I mean the last month and a half, before it became horribly racist, before Republicans started adopting the terminology of Chinese coronavirus or Wuhan virus, in their write-up about how racist it is, Vox writes, other variations among administration officials and Republicans in Congress include the Chinese flu, the Chinese coronavirus, or the Wuhan virus. Oh, some of the reported comments from people around Trump are even less decorous. Well, you go back to January 28th, 2020, and just as a reminder, it is 2020. It is March 19th, 2020, so you're not even going back two full months. Vox News tweets out a story on Vox News entitled, What China's Quarantine to Stop the Wuhan Coronavirus Looks Like. Oopsie. Now are people resigning at Vox News? Okay, let's go back to just February 20th. We don't have to go back all the way to the dark ages of late January. Vox News again. Quote, People searching for information about the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak are finding a barrage of misleading and potentially dangerous social media content that the platform themselves struggle to keep in check. Oh, okay. Well, obviously, February isn't a good time for Vox News and their racism, so let's go back to January, different January 28th. Here is that an estimated 1 million Muslims are being held in camps for forced indoctrination in China's northwestern province of Xinjiang. Experts say if the Wuhan coronavirus ends up there, it could spread from person to person all too easily. What? Why so many times has Vox News, who now sits in judgment of us all, from a throne of hypocrisy, how are you not aware of what you've done in the recent past? I get you want to pull up something from 10 years ago, and you say, well, okay, we probably shouldn't have used it then, but things were different, and you go, sorry, if you're in the woke set, not a normal human being, but if you're in the woke set. But we're not talking ancient history. We're talking a matter of weeks. We're talking less than a month in one case. Wouldn't you be aware of the fact that you were just calling it this and go back, even if you want to be a self-righteous douchebag on the left and be the super social justice warrior, wouldn't you go back and go, hey, before we post this thing about how everything is awful and racist, maybe we should delete our use of it. You know, think that's a good idea, boss? Because it would be a good idea. It'd be a fraud, but Vox doesn't really do journalism, so what's a little fraud amongst lefties? Everybody else is doing it. But they didn't. Because apparently the people who work at Vox News don't read Vox News. Why would they? It's a horrible website. I wouldn't read it either. But this is just a sample of what the left is up to, and how the left is being completely hypocritical. At a time, by the way, where the Chinese government is out there trying to say that the United States military created this thing and unleashed it in China as some sort of biological germ warfare. So essentially, the people you're about to hear are taking the side of the Chinese government against the United States of America, and also the military, because the Chinese government is smearing the military. By the way, that's not Vox, but it's CNN. A new tweet is discovered. People are crawling through the Twitter feeds here. January 21st, CNN. Quote, a new Chinese coronavirus, a cousin of the SARS virus, has infected more than 200 people since the outbreak began in Wuhan, China, in December. Scientist Leon Poon, didn't make that up, Leo Poon, who first decoded the virus, thinks it likely started in an animal and spread to humans. Now, why would they call it a Chinese coronavirus over at CNN? Because last night, Don Lemon did a monologue about how calling it the Chinese coronavirus or the Wuhan virus or anything like that at all is racist. Stephen Colbert, who's still, for some weird reason, doing monologues from his palatial mansion with, by the way, a really nice high fence or wall around it in the backyard. He is making jokes he's not making jokes. He doesn't do jokes. He's making statements about how President Trump is a racist for calling it the Wuhan China coronavirus. So now we go to the tape of these useful idiots or useless idiots. I don't know. They got the idiot part down for sure. Let us start with, this is the unknown reporter. I don't know who this woman is. She's blonde. I'd never heard her before. She kind of quickly says her name, I think, at the very beginning of this, but I can't quite make it out. It's irrelevant. They're all the same. Drones have individual designations, not names. And she is quite upset that the president keeps pointing out that the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus came from Wuhan, China.
We'll get you next, okay? Say it.
Thank you, Mr. President. In talking about China, you've been very clear about who you think is to blame or where the origin to blame for this virus is.
I don't think. I know where it came from. I don't know if you'd say China's to blame. Certainly, we didn't get an early run on it. It would have been helpful if we knew about it earlier. But it comes from China. And it's not a question about that. Nobody's questioning that.
Senator Cotton is saying that they should be punished, in so many words, for inflicting this on the American people. Do you feel that way about
it? Well, I have a lot of respect for Tom Cotton, and I know exactly what he's been saying. And there are those people that say that. So we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Could you imagine being that obtuse? You keep saying you know where this came from. We don't. It could have been it could have been the U.S. military for all we know. It could have come from Canada. It might have originated in Zimbabwe, Mr. President. It's wrong to say China. How embarrassed would you be if somebody told you to ask that question? Your boss said, go ask this question and put it this way. I would resign rather than ask that question that way. But this reporter is like, where you think that this came from. And the president rightly jumps in and says, I would have sworn at her. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Where are you getting your information? Where do you think it came from? I turned around on her. Where do you think it came from? Where do you think it originated? And her answer would be, I don't know. It could have come from anywhere. It might have fallen from the sky. Who's to say? You know, certainly you don't know anything more than I do, Mr. President, except that I know that you're a racist. These people are enemies of the people. They really are. That is straight out of the Chinese government. That is straight up Chinese communist propaganda. There's no ambiguity. There's no obscure middle ground where it's just a gray area. We're not really sure. Our best guess is that it came from somewhere in China. No. The doctors, the first eight doctors to work on this thing, tried to warn the world that they discovered this thing. They thought they knew that it came from bat soup. And look out, because it's spreading like wildfire. It's way more dangerous than anything that they had come into contact before. Way more contagious, spreads much more quickly, and it's a problem. Hey, world, look out. And what did China do with the first doctor who told the world, who made the mistake of telling the world? They arrested him, and he subsequently died of coronavirus. My guess would be, was not given the best care in the world or the best care available even in China because he had betrayed the state. And you are not allowed to betray the state there in China. But if you betray the state here in the United States, you get a White House press credential. Up next, who do we do next? Let's do Cecilia Vega of ABC News. Now, I told you, it was nearly every outlet. There were four questions about this. Now, the White House press briefing room isn't nearly as full as it used to be. I don't know how they're working that out. I assume there's some sort of hierarchy of who gets to be in the room and who doesn't get to be in the room. There aren't people standing. Not every seat is full and stuff like that. Cecilia Vega comes up from ABC News, and she has her version of Chinese state propaganda.
Keep calling this the Chinese virus. There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China.
A lot of people say it's racist.
It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China. That's why. Comes from China. I want to be accurate.
Yeah, please,
John. Please.
Are you comfortable?
I have great love for all of the people from our country. But as you know, China tried to say at one point, maybe they stopped now, that it was caused by American soldiers. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm president. It comes from China.
It comes from China. But do you imagine that? Why do you keep calling it that? Why do you keep calling that? There have been dozens of bias reports. Are you kidding me? But dozens of bias reports. This is one of the things that I wrote about in my book, the invention of bias instances. Now, what's a bias incident? A bias incident is what we've had to redefine racism to because racism is essentially dead for all intents and purposes in this country. It still exists. There are still racists out there. But in a nation of 330 million people, you've got what? The Southern Poverty Law Center. This is probably my favorite statistic that I researched and calculated in my book. The Southern Poverty Law Center estimated that there are between 5 and 8,000 members of the KKK, the granddaddy of all the racist organizations in the country, if not the world. The average attendance at the WNBA in 2018 or whatever, I forget what year it was 7,644. 7,644 in attendance for the least popular by a lot professional sport in this country. That means if you just took the average of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the liberals' own Southern Poverty Law Center, and made it 6,500 members of the KKK, that would mean that there are almost 1,000 more, or more than 1,000 more people at 1,144 to be exact, at the average game of the least popular professional sport in the country than there are members of the KKK in the whole country. Any given WNBA game, there are more than 1,000 more people there than membership in the Klan throughout the whole country. If that ain't progress, there's no such thing as progress, okay? There were more than 1 million in the 1920s, a couple million, I think 4 million members of the KKK estimated from the Southern Poverty Law Center in the 1920s. So that's massive, massive progress. Well, progress is good, you would think, right? I mean, hell, they call themselves progressives. But when their weapon is being hurt, and racism is their weapon, it's their bread and butter, they fundraise off of it, they get votes off of it, you have to come up with something new. You can't say, hey, we're doing a hell of a job crushing this thing, because then your so-called solutions that you say you need to enact and why you need to be in power, suddenly you don't need to enact them, and you don't need to be in power if the problem you're claiming is gone. So they created bias instances. A bias incident is not racism. It is an incident where somebody is, well, they feel, or some external observer feels, was related. It's so difficult and so stupid to explain that there was bias involved, not hatred, not discrimination, just somebody was treated differently because of their race or ethnicity. And it can be a third-party observer who reports a bias incident. They're very popular on college campuses that, oh my God, you treated that Asian person differently. How? You just did. I saw you not shake hands. You bowed like, Nancy Pelosi recommended last week. You bow Asian style toward people instead of shaking hands. That's a bias incident now. So that she is saying that there have been dozens, again, dozens. Dozens sounds pretty scary until you realize that you're talking about a two, maybe three dozen, if that she doesn't say, in a nation of 330 million people. And not racist attacks, but bias reports. Now, we have seen how many so-called race hate crime hoaxes in the past 3 years, so that a bias report, well, who do you report to? You report to a liberal organization, a liberal activist organization. Now, who is more likely to report to a liberal activist organization? It is more likely to be liberals to know to report to a liberal activist organization and report exactly what that liberal activist organization is looking for. Just like I told you, or I wrote in my book about how the increase in hate crimes took place after Donald Trump's election. And then when you looked at the data, as I did in my book, suddenly you discovered that there were massive spikes in hate crimes in Democrat-controlled cities in Democrat-controlled states. San Francisco saw a spike in hate crime reports after Donald Trump's election. New York City saw a spike in hate crime reports after Donald Trump's election. And you think to yourself, was there this bastion of conservative hate mongers who were just waiting before they decided to strike out against people? Finally, we have a Republican president. Now we can go out and hate people. No, Because when you looked at the stories behind the data, the stories fell apart. They were usually confessions. Once the police actually started investigating and they discovered no evidence, or they, you know, hey, I found a bunch of racial slurs spray painted on this wall here. It's an outrage. Hey, why are your fingers spray painted the exact same color that the wall? Well, that's a coincidence. I tried to rub it off with my fingertips. Oh, okay. Why is there a can of the exact same color spray paint sitting on the front seat of your car? Oh, all right, you got me. That's a lot of the stories that happened. So again, Celia Vega is not only repeating Chinese communist propaganda, she is repeating American communist propaganda. Good old U.S. of A. homegrown propaganda about how these bias instances are happening. Have you seen stories of them? I haven't. I follow the news for a living. What I have seen, I saw one video of an Asian woman being berated by a Hispanic guy on a bus, a public bus in Los Angeles. He was being a dick, no doubt about it. But I also highly doubt that he was a particular fan of the President of the United States, given the thickness of his accent. I was wondering whether or not he was a citizen of the United States, which means that he's, if he's a voter, he's likely a Democrat voter, possibly an illegal Democrat voter, but that's a story for another time. So you got two of them in. Let's do one more, just to complete at least the set of three. This is Yumichi Alcindor. This is the one that's most offensive because this is the one we as taxpayers are subsidizing. Yumichi Alcindor is a reporter for PBS. Yes, public broadcasting. I think she might also be a cable news contributor. I don't. One of the two stations. One of the only two stations that would hire somebody as dumb as all of these liberals. She now wants to go back in. And there was a report yesterday that some reporter, I think for CBS News, said, tweeted out that an administration official called it the Kung Flu to her. And she was outraged. She was offended. She was Asian, and she is Asian, and she was upset by this subtle racism, and she wondered if they're saying this to her face. What are they saying behind her back? Curiously, like is kind of all the rage with lefties. You see a lot of lefties out there on social media. My 11-year-old came in and said, "Miss Dad, if Donald Trump cuts the payroll taxes down, if he goes to the payroll tax holiday, how are we going to be able to make up the difference in Social Security?" The questions that no child would ever ask, but it's the liberals' inner monologue, and they just use their children as an excuse to do it, as an excuse to get it out there. She, the reporter who reported the so-called Kung Flu, that somebody said Kung Flu, has not named who said Kung Flu. It wasn't a confidential source, theoretically. It wasn't a conversation off the record, deep, deep cover. I'll tell you this. We'll talk about the Kung Flu. I doubt that. It's kind of funny term, but if you don't want to use it, if you find offensive, okay, fine. But there's no reason to protect whoever it was that said it. And Yumichi Alcindor, without knowing who the source was, with there being no confirmation whatsoever that the source even exists, goes and asks about that thing. And the president says, "Who said it?" And she won't answer. She can't answer, probably. And it's weird how if this horrible, horrible racist event took place and this horrible, awful racist is running around the White House, why wouldn't anybody name them? If they exist, of course. Here's Yumichi Alcindor.
My second question is, there are some, at least one White House official, who used the term Kung Flu, referring to the fact that this virus started in China. Is that acceptable? Is it wrong? Are you worried that having this virus be talked about as a Chinese virus, that might...
I wonder who said that. Focus, you know who said that?
That I'm not sure the person's name, but would you condemn the fact that...
Say the term
Kung
again.
A person at the White House used the term Kung Flu. My question is, do
Kung
you think
flu.
That's wrong, Kung Flu? And do you think using the term Chinese virus, that puts Asian Americans at risk, that people
no,
might target
not at
them?
All. No, not at all. I think they probably would agree with it 100%. It comes from China. There's nothing not to agree. Okay, how about...
Sure. Of course, that is Yamiche, is apparently how you pronounce it. Yamiche Alcindor of PBS asking about a tweet yesterday from CBS News White House correspondent Weijia Jiang. She tweeted out that, quote, this morning, a White House official referred to coronavirus as the Kung Flu to my face. Makes me wonder what they're calling it behind my back. So the president, you heard her ask, heard him ask, Yamiche, who said it? Who said it? I don't know who said it. It doesn't matter. It was said. Oh, okay. So you don't know who said it, but it was said. Well, the only person who's ever said that it was said is Weijia Jiang, right? And it was said, apparently, quote, to my face, end quote. Well, the White House grounds are very heavily surveilled. One would think that if a conversation between a White House staffer and a CBS News White House correspondent did, in fact, take place, that there would be footage of that. You would assume that the President of the United States would be able to call up, say, hey, you know what, go look through the look through the security footage for the 17th and let me know who what was it was talking to Weijia Jiang. I'd like to know, since this seems to be such a big deal. They're asking about it when you have the chance to ask the president any question you want. And instead of that, you're defending China. You're using Chinese propaganda. And you're asking about a CBS News reporter's tweet. A CBS News reporter who, by the way, has not tweeted about it since. Oh, she curiously retweeted Yamiche's tweet of about the question that she asked herself, but nothing about the person's name. Well, later on in the day, down and out on the White House lawn, while everybody was social distancing themselves, Kellyanne Conway was fielding questions from reporters. And again, because the liberal media is obsessed with identity politics and not news, this became a major topic of discussion. It was actually a topic for debate. The thing that reporters didn't know is that Kellyanne Conway's husband is half Filipino. So she's probably not going to be rabidly racist against Asians, I would guess. I would just guess. So that's a fact that Kellyanne brings up in this exchange. And her line is pretty funny. You guys are obsessed with that kind of stuff. I figured you would know. But it's telling because nobody knows, or the one person who supposedly does know, the so-called victim of this horrible racism of saying Kung Flu. I don't know how you can make fun of a virus and it be racist. But then everything is racist, so who the hell knows? My asking that question is probably racist, too. It's not that I'm insensitive. It's that I don't care. There's a difference. Insensitive people set out to be insensitive, to cause problems, to cause discomfort. I simply don't care that I do. That's the difference. Weijia Jiang was there, and Kellyanne asked her flat out, and actually offered her the microphone. Hey, come on up here and tell the world who this person is, and then we can go into the White House together and we can call that person out, okay? We can go do that. Let's go do that right now. If this was such a horrible thing, and Kellyanne agrees, you shouldn't have said it, let's go call that person out right now. Weirdly, Weijia Jiang did not step up to the microphone, and in fact, kind of became quiet. I'd like to see the surveillance footage of Weijia Jiang arriving at work on Tuesday morning and see who she talked to. I think that'd be neat. Listen to this exchange and listen to it. It is an argument. It is not journalism. It is in no way designed to find facts. The White House press corps, led by Weijia Jiang and Yamiche Alcindor, are demanding Kellyanne Conway answer for something nobody knows who said, or if it was said at all. It just had to have been said because it sounds like something that would be said by somebody who's around Trump. It could all be resolved. The person who could resolve it is standing right there, suddenly becomes oddly quiet when asked who did it. And this exchange ensues.
Who they are. But hold on. You can't just say that and not name them. Tell us who it was. come up here and tell us who it was. I'd like to know, because I'll go inside.
Right now, what is your message to those staff?
No, I'd like to know.
Rather than
excuse
having
me.
Them, why,
excuse
why
me, that's been alleged. No, Yamiche, excuse me.
So is that wrong? If it's Yamiche,
I'm not dealing in hypotheticals. Of course it's wrong. But you can't just
of
make an accusation
wrong.
And not tell us who it is. Who is
but
it? Come and tell us.
It's wrong.
Yamiche, if you want to argue, I'm going to argue about standing away from each other and washing our hands and everything.
But just
tell us who it is.
You're telling those staffers, of course it's wrong.
Who was it? Tell us. I think we have.
How these conversations go.
I don't know how these conversations go. And that's highly offensive. So you should tell us all who it is. I'd like to know who it
what
is.
Action,
I'm not going to engage in hypotheticals. I'm married to an Asian. I mean, I'm not engaging in a hypothetical. My kids are, partly. Yes, I'm married to an Asian American. My kids are 25% Filipino.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're all so obsessed.
So
I thought you knew.
But you're saying that using that
excuse me, of course it is, but who is it, Yamiche? Who is it? Now you're engaging, I'm trying to be here to help you help America understand how to slow the spread, and you're shouting at me in a way about something that somebody allegedly said to somebody else, and I'm asking, who was it? Why don't we go to the source? I certainly didn't say it. I don't believe it. So why don't we go to the source and tell them that's very hurtful and unhelpful for what we're all trying to do. And pardon me if I've been mistaken that you all are trying to inform America as to what's going on. We're really pleased that your networks and your cable stations and your radio affiliates are all helping us to inform America by donating significant space on your networks to these public service announcements that we've been recording with health professionals. And they're starting, I think they're running on your network starting today or definitely this week.
But can you say at least there's a policy from the White House to say to its staff to not call it that?
Have you ever heard someone
say I have never heard that. Killian. The only time I ever even heard that or read that is when you said it yesterday. That's the only time I've ever heard or read it.
That was it. That was the big news story. That was the will you denounce what somebody allegedly said to me? Well, who said it? Who said it? I'll denounce it, yeah, but who said it? Well, I don't want to say who said it. Why don't you want to? If suddenly there's this secret, horrible racist who hates Asian people running around the White House close to the president, the world should know about this, should they not? But no journalists seem to have any interest in it. What's more curious is CBS News itself, for which that reporter works, seems content for that reporter to have an exclusive story that has dominated the news for 24 hours, at least, the inside the Beltway news for 24 hours, and keep it to themselves. No, you got this big scoop? Okay. Well, don't tell anybody if you don't want to. That's perfectly fine. Go about your business. What in the hell is going on at CBS News? She stumbled across this information in her capacity as a White House correspondent, as evidenced by the fact that it was to her face and she's the White House correspondent. It was somebody from the White House, she said. So this is all relevant information. Should her bosses not demand that she pony up the name? They aren't. It's weird. Now, why? It could be that they're scared of being called racist or whatever, or it could be that she's making it up and she's claiming that, oh, no, it's all secret. My secret source. I can't. If I do that, I'll give up my source, my deep source. Have you ever heard CBS News break any stories out of this White House? Let's be honest. Have you ever thought, ooh, you see that big CBS News story? No, you haven't. So I don't know. I never heard of this reporter before she tweeted this, which I suspect is part of the reason why she tweeted it and part of the reason why she is keeping quiet about it, because I don't think she wanted the sympathy. She wanted the attention. I don't think she wanted questions asked of the president. I don't think she wanted a press briefing by the counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, to be all about her. But there it was. One would think, again, that the bigwigs at CBS News would be interested in this story. It would be gold. It would get a lot of clicks. It would get a lot of watches on the nightly news. More than likely than not, this reporter will appear on CBS This Morning or whatever the hell their Sunday show is called. Face the Nation, I guess. More than likely, she'll appear on one of those things, and she'll be asked about it without being asked to divulge. She'll come up with some sort of BS excuse as to why she doesn't want to release the name of the person, but she'll recount what had happened and how scarring it was for her. Oh, my goodness. I can't even understand. And then somewhere in the distance, somebody was playing kung fu fighting outside the gates of the White House, like they're Lloyd Dobler holding a boombox over their head. And Carl Douglas or whoever it was that sang that song came over the radio as Lloyd is trying to woo this woman, and she will have recount how she broke down yet again, and it was just a horrible, horrible experience. All of this could be alleviated, all of this could be avoided by simply naming this magical unicorn of a person. There's a reason she won't. I don't know what it is. There's a reason that the media is obsessed with garbage like this, and whether or not you call it the China virus or the foreign virus, rather, you know, by the way, they're very offended that the Republicans refer to it occasionally as Wuhan virus or China virus, yet they celebrate it, and nobody has been asked to apologize or retract or change the New York Times headline that says, let's call it the Trump virus. It's weird. That was before all of this faux pearl clutching and fake outrage and everything. So you would think that if things can be retroactively determined to be horrible and beyond the pale, something like that would be determined to be horrible and beyond the pale. But it was an attack against the president. That's perfectly fine. Now back to the news. NBC News' Richard Engel did a report that could have and may well have been. I mean, NBC News and their parent company have a lot of businesses around the planet, and I imagine they make a lot of money in China, so that them doing the business bidding of the Chinese communists wouldn't be all that surprising. Plus, they tend not to like the United States of America when Republicans are president. Richard Engel actually goes on to defend China. Listen to this.
It's easy to scapegoat people, and that is what has always happened when there have been pandemics or epidemics, that foreigners are attacked. Foreigners sometimes physically attacked. If you look at what happened during the Middle Ages, there was lots and lots of scapegoating against an ethnic group or a religious group whenever there were pandemics that affected the society and frightened a lot of people. And China certainly feels that is what is happening now, with people calling it the Wuhan flu or the Wuhan virus or the China virus. This is a virus that came from the territory of China, but came from bats. This is a bat virus, not a China virus. It doesn't speak Chinese. It doesn't target Chinese people. It targets human beings who happen to touch their eyes, nose, or mouth.
It just happened to come from the territory of China, but it came from bats. So, well, then somebody needs to rename the West Nile virus real quick. And Lyme disease, named after Lyme, Connecticut, we're going to have to find some neutral word, maybe some gender non-conforming word to call that one. Pretty much most of the world's viruses we're going to have to rename to some culturally sensitive, nondescript thing. Can we call it the vacuum virus? It's a vacuum virus. It sucks. So we'll just call it the vacuum virus. And since most viruses suck, we'll call them all just vacuum viruses. And we'll just go from there. That's NBC News defending the communist Chinese government. But NBC News was not alone in that. Fredo Cuomo, my God, how does he survive? He actually goes further than Richard Engel, if you thought that was possible, and still maintain some semblance of being a journalist. Fredo goes on to say that this virus, it could have come from anywhere. Who knows? The world may never know where this sucker came from, because it could have come from anywhere. Think I'm kidding? I am not. Here he is saying that himself.
Calling it the Chinese virus, or the Wuhan virus, or the Kung flu. Listen, you may think it's clever, but it's hurting. The idea, well, did come from China. Then why doesn't Fauci and other top health officials, why don't they call it that? You know why? Because it could have come from anywhere. All right? Attacks against the Asian community are on the rise.
Let's take the second part first there, where he says attacks against the Asian American community are on the rise. Where are the stories? You would be highlighting the hell out of them if it were in fact happening. Where is this plague? Where is it? They don't back it up. They just say it. It has to be true. Donald Trump is president. It's just, it has to be true. Where are the stories? Where are the reports? Where are the interviews with the victims? Where are the police reports of these attacks? They don't exist. If anything, that other reporter was, you know, on to something, the bias instances. Oh, okay. So what? What did somebody do? Something that offended you? Because that's really what a bias incident is. If you're offended by somebody who has the same skin tone as you, nah, that's nothing. No big deal. But if somebody is a different skin tone from you, and if the person who did it was white and you're not white, then it's okay. Then listen to the media, and you can attack white people all you want. Who cares? But if a white person says anything that offends you, I like your top, and you don't like that top? Good Lord, that's a bias incident. You're biased against me. But just for fun, since Chris Cuomo in the first part of that clip said this could have come from anywhere. Why, this could have, it may be a mystery the world will never solve. Just like we may never find the body of Amelia Earhart, we may never know where the Wuhan, China coronavirus that originated in Wuhan, China, we may never know where it came from. It'll be a world mystery forever. Let's get in the Wayback Machine to 2 days ago, to a little montage put together by the Media Research Center. I'm only going to play part of it. Now, you heard Chris Cuomo saying, oh my God, who would say this? It's horrible and causing attacks. So let's just stick to CNN. These are CNN employees or CNN guests, mostly employees, saying Wuhan virus or China virus, instead of the politically acceptable now, because a Republican said it, coronavirus.
Concern is growing this morning over an outbreak of a new SARS-like virus in China. At least 6 people have died from the Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus.
The 34-year-old ophthalmologist diagnosed Saturday with the Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan virus.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus. What more can you tell us about the similarities or differences between SARS and the Wuhan coronavirus?
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus in China.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
From the Wuhan coronavirus.
Wuhan coronavirus.
Fears continue to grow over the outbreak of the Wuhan coronavirus.
Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
We have new information about how the Wuhan coronavirus is spread.
Since everybody at CNN is so offended by this and declared the use of that term they flung around like monkey poo just a few days ago, and Chris Cuomo is, in fact, outraged by it, that is going to make the CNN year-end nondescript, gender nonconforming, certainly not any sort of religious holiday party in the end of December, very awkward at CNN. It's just going to be one of those really weird things where not only will social distancing still be in vogue, but nobody's going to want to make eye contact with it. I swear to God, it's like the employees of CNN, well, it's like they're just like America. They don't watch CNN either, or whatever they happen to catch it at an airport when their flight is delayed. They only see it with the sound down, and they just look at the pictures moving and think, God, those people are dumb. Lastly, I just want to play this clip from a guy from Marvel Comics. I know I said I was going to get to more things, but I didn't. Time runs out on you. My mouth runs out on me as well. Too much good audio. Marvel Comics is coming out with a new group of superheroes, a bunch of social justice warriors. I don't know if their superpower is going to be not showering and being able to drum circle their villains into submission, but they are called the New Warriors, and two of them have names Safe Space and Snowflake. And it's not done to mock them. It's actually they're trying to do this to elevate and be one of the with the social justice warrior set, because Snowflake is a chick, but Well, they're all both people of color, cartoon characters of color. And the chick is gender non-binary or non-conforming or whatever the hell it is, because they go by the pronouns they, them, or they're they, or football, ham sandwich, I don't know. But if you want to know what is going to be the hit on college campuses until it goes out of print after, well, I don't know, six issues, because nobody bought it in the real world. This is it. It is called The New Warriors. Listen to this Zeta male try to explain how it's so super cool.
Snowflake and Safe Space are the twins, and their names are very similar to Screen Time. It's this idea that these are terms that get thrown around on the internet that they don't see as derogatory, to take those words and kind of wear them as badges of honor. Safe Space is kind of a big, burly, sort of stereotypical jock. He can create force fields, but he can only trigger them if he's protecting somebody else. Snowflake is non-binary and goes by they, them. Snowflake has the power to generate individual crystallized snowflake-shaped shurikens. The connotations of the word snowflake in our culture right now are something fragile. And this is a character who is turning it into something sharp. Snowflake is the person who has the more offensive power, and Safe Space is the person who has the more defensive power. The idea was that they would mirror each other and complement each other.
The idea is they would mirror each other and complement each other. Yes, that's thrilling. Okay, you want to get rid of Safe Space, just shoot him, I suppose. That ought to do it. Since he can only protect himself when protecting somebody else, shoot him. Problem solved. I suspect that would cause little old Snowflake to cry like a 13-year-old, gender non-binary, confused, left coast, drag queen, library reading attending son or daughter or somewhere in between of a Hollywood actress. Anyway, it's a shame. I'll just cry. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. And I don't know who will be the interview tomorrow. I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't set it up. Had one set up, but they were coming in from out of town. And nobody's coming in from out of town anymore. So you'll just have to tune in tomorrow to find out who it is. Have a great Thursday.
The idea, well, did come from China. Then why doesn't Fauci and other top health officials, why don't they call it that? You know why? Because it could have come from anywhere.